Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now, Peter Troy investigates the Tarnished Angel.
You know, one thing I particularly like about my secretary, Julie, is that even if I can't read her mind and know what she's thinking, I can at least tell what she's emoting. And what I mean is, if she smiles at me, I know she's happy with me. If she hurls abuse at me, I know she's angry. And if she ever bursts into tears, I'll know she's unhappy. It's sort of comforting to know that a doll is for real. And I'm reminded of this by the case that involved that great husband and wife acting team, Archer and Estelle Tremaine. Now, I'm not going to knock actors and actresses because I know a lot of them, and some of them I can even call my friends. Some of the actresses, truth to tell, are living dolls. But what I can never figure out is how any guy has the courage to marry one of them. How would you know when your wife was behaving for real? Now, me, I'll take Julie. But Archer Tremaine, as it happened, took Estelle. And that, as it happened, was not quite as simple a matter as their public liked to think.
I think we'll leave the car here, Estelle. No problem at this time of day at the back of the theater.
Really, Archer, I don't know why you insist on coming to the theater just now. We could easily run through the script in comfort at home.
Darling, I don't want to run through it in comfort. I want to run through it on the stage. I want to change some of those movements.
But there's nobody here just now. The whole place is closed up.
Good. I don't want anybody around. Now, come on, Estelle. Don't argue the point anymore.
Oh, all right.
I'm glad I insisted on Willis giving me a key to the stage door.
I'm sorry I didn't insist on his refusing.
Oh, nonsense. You'll be glad we came, darling. You know the movements in that whole second act have been worrying you.
Yes, but I still say we could have corrected them at home.
There we are. Now, come along. Oh, it's a bit dark. Wait a minute, there's a light switch here somewhere, seem to recall.
You might at least have called the doorman and asked him to let us in.
Ah, here we are. Hey, don't need any more light than that. I think we can... Great Scott!
What? What's the matter?
The shock the Tremaines got on going into the darkened theater that day was real enough for their reaction to be real also. For hanging in front of them, from one of the many ropes you find backstage in a live theater, was a man. Needless to say, they didn't go on with the rehearsal they came for, but instead they rang the police. I heard about it all only some days later when Estelle Tremaine came to see me. She was shown into my office by a watchful Julie, who, notebook in hand, was obviously determined to ruin any little tete-a-tete I might have had in mind on seeing Mrs. Tremaine. Being the famous actress she was, she didn't just walk in as Julie held the door open. No, she made an entrance, and I found myself glancing round to see on which side of us the audience was.
Mr. Troy, I do hope you can help me.
Well, so do I, Mrs. Tremaine.
It's this terrible business of Harry Pollard. You've read about it in the papers, of course.
Well, no, I haven't. For the best part of a week, I've been in the country on business, and I was so busy, I hardly saw a paper.
Oh, then you don't know about his suicide or murder or whatever it is.
Well, knowing you were coming, Miss Summers here briefed me a little on the matter. I understand that you and your husband found the body of this Harry Pollard in the theater.
Oh, that's right. It was a ghastly experience. Well, thank heaven we're still only in rehearsal. I'm sure I should never have been able to give a performance that night.
Oh, I'm sure you would have managed to do that. After all, what do they say in show business? The show must go on.
Do they?
Well, sure they do. Don't they?
Mr. Troy's experience with show business is rather limited, Mrs. Tremaine. Of course, he's had a great deal to do with certain people in vaudeville, burlesque...
I think we can leave that, Miss Summers. Now, where were we?
Well... Nowhere, really.
Oh.
I hope you're the man for this job, Mr. Troy. You see, if Harry Pollard was killed...
If he was killed? You mean you think he committed suicide?
No, but that's what the police thought at first.
Oh, there's some awfully stupid fellow in charge of the case. An inspector, or Castell, or Shadwell, or something.
Inspector Caswell.
Oh, that's right. Do you know him?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, a very dull fellow. However he came to be an inspector is quite beyond me. Well, first of all, he thought it was suicide, and then he decided that's impossible. Now he's arrested Don Willis.
Willis, Julie?
Don Willis is the producer of the play Mr. and Mrs. Tremaine are rehearsing now, Mr. Troy.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think Willis is guilty, Mrs. Tremaine?
Well, frankly, I don't. I don't pretend to know Don very well, but I don't think he's the type to commit murder.
Oh, there's a type that commits murder? I don't think so.
I didn't ask you for your opinion on that, Mr. Troy. Frankly, it's nothing to me whether Don killed Harry or not. But I don't think he did, and I don't think the police are going to find the right man.
But you want the right man found.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Must I have a reason?
You want me to be frank, too, Mrs. Tremaine?
Of course.
Okay. You must have a reason.
Oh. Well, I was very fond of old Harry Pollard. He used to be an actor years ago. Then parts for him started to get scarce. It happens that way sometimes.
I seem to have heard about it.
Well, he came to me for help, and I got him a job as a caretaker in our apartment block.
I see. Tell me, was he happy with that job?
Of course he was happy. Why shouldn't he be?
He was an actor, Mrs. Tremaine. I've never met an actor yet who was happy doing any other kind of work.
Well, I'm not concerned with whether Harry Pollard was happy or not. He's dead now. And I want you to find the man who killed him.
Very simple, Troy. Willis was the only man with the opportunity. Or more correctly, he was the one with the most obvious opportunity.
And motive, Inspector?
I don't know.
But you've arrested the guy.
Who told you that? We haven't arrested him at all. We simply asked him to come down to headquarters for questioning.
Oh. And you're releasing him?
We've already done so. But the reason why we were interested in him was the fact that he was at the theater earlier that day, alone. Or apparently alone.
How do you know?
He was seen to go in there. He stayed half an hour and left.
Mm-hmm. And the dead man, Pollard.
Yes, well, nobody saw him go in. That's one thing that makes it difficult.
How long had he been dead when the Tremaines found him?
Only a few hours.
And you don't think it was suicide?
Well, I did at first. But from where he must have stood to put the rope around his neck, he couldn't have released the counterweight to lift him off the floor. That must have been murder.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's your interest in this case?
Me? Oh, you know me, Inspector. I just like to help the police out any time business is a little slack.
Oh, here we go again. Forget I asked.
I will. There on your desk. Is that the rope?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, that's it.
Would you mind if I take a look?
Yes. Don't let that stop you.
I wouldn't dream of it. Yeah. It's curious.
What?
The way this knot is tied.
Well, it's not a proper hangman's knot, if that's what you mean. So we can rule out the state executioner as a suspect.
Oh, very funny. Inspector, do you recall your Boy Scout days?
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
It's a pity. Because if you did, you might remember what you learned about making a knot.
A knot what?
Oh, really? You're not seriously going to try getting me into that corny old routine, are you?
Well, I don't see why I shouldn't make a joke once in a while. That's for a change.
Well, if you can't see why, I guess there's no point in my telling.
Now, look, every time you come in here, Troy, you manage to annoy me.
Okay, I'll go then.
Now, wait a bit. What about that knot?
Knot what, Inspector?
Get out of here before I lose my temper!
Hello, Pete. How's it going?
Hmm? Oh, it isn't really, Julie.
Well, how did you get on with the inspector?
All the usual friendly enemy stuff, you know.
Mm.
So far, there's nothing that appeals to me very much.
Oh? Not even Estelle Tremaine. She's very beautiful.
No, yeah, sure, sure.
And I thought she was quite a nice person.
Oh, I'll get it.
Mm.
Peter Troy.
Oh, Mr. Troy, we haven't met. It's Archer Tremaine speaking.
Archer
Oh, yes, Mr. Tremaine.
My wife asked me to phone you. She thought you might like to come down to our place on the coast for the weekend.
She did?
Yes. You and your secretary, if that would suit you.
Well, that's very kind of you and your wife, Mr. Tremaine. I'm sure I can accept for both of us.
Good, good. I'll send the car for you tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yes, that'll be fine.
Until tomorrow evening, then. Goodbye, Mr. Troy.
Goodbye.
What was all that about?
Mr. and Mrs. Tremaine would like the company of Mr. Troy and Miss Summers at their beach house for the weekend.
What? Well, why me?
Well, I don't know. Unless Mrs. Tremaine got the impression that you and I are, like that.
Like what?
Julie, what do you want me to do, draw you a picture?
Well, as the song says, you could, show me.
Yeah, and get blipped on the noggin? No, thanks. If I'm going to live dangerously, I'll take up something like big game hunting. At least with that, I'd have an even break.
Sometimes, Pete, you're the most maddening.
Don't say it.
Oh.
You know, Tremaine sounds like he has all his marbles where they should be.
And why shouldn't he sound like that?
Because 6 months ago, he was in a rest home. A breakdown from overwork or something. He was there for 3 months.
Oh. But you don't think that he...
That he might have killed Harry Pollard in some kind of a blackout? I don't know, Julie.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I told you, I didn't like this case. And the more I think about it, the less I like it. Three things worried me. One, I did not like Mrs. Tremaine very much. A fact which set Julie back on her heels, because by the general run of standards, Estelle was quite a doll to look at. Two, I'd learned that her husband, Archie Tremaine, had not so long ago spent some time in a rest home for what was called nervous exhaustion, which might have been the truth or might not. And three, we'd been invited down to stay the weekend at Tremaine's beach house. And I could think of no good reason why Mrs. Tremaine would want us cluttering up the joint. On the way down, driven by their chauffeur, we were a moody couple, but Julie had her own problem, which was the big question she voiced to me after 20 minutes of deathly silence.
Pete?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't get it. You're not sick, are you?
I don't think so.
Then why don't you like her?
Who?
Mrs. Tremaine.
Oh, her.
Yes. She is beautiful.
Sure. Julie.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you wear a mauve frock?
Mauve? You know I don't like mauve.
It's a beautiful color.
I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the answer to your question.
But you haven't seen Mrs. Tremaine wearing mauve.
What? Oh, Julie, not even you could be that dumb.
What do you mean, not even me?
Oh, look, button up, will you? I'm thinking...
Oh, well, pardon me for living. I won't say another word.
Fine.
Right.
Good.
Fine.
Oh, I just said that. Oh, look, let's call it quits, huh?
Pete.
Mm-hmm?
I liked you better the old way. About the dolls, I mean.
You know something, honey? I like me better that way, too. I'll be glad when this case is over. I only hope I'm not sorry when I'm glad.
Here we are, a nice cup of coffee.
Smells delicious, Mrs. Tremaine. You're quite the housewife when you get away from the theater, aren't you?
Always. I find complete relaxation in just being domestic. Cream in your coffee?
Oh, no, black, thank you.
The men have a lovely day for their cruise. I do hope you didn't mind our not going with them.
Oh, not at all. I'm not much of a sailor. Oh, thank you.
Nor am I. Archer loves it, bless his boyish heart.
Well, I don't think Pete is very fond of sailing.
Oh, isn't he? I do hope he doesn't feel he's being pushed into it.
Oh, no. He wouldn't have gone if he'd hated it that much.
He didn't seem to mind when I suggested he and Archer go for a run.
No, he didn't.
Oh, it's good for Archer to get out for a bit of a blow after his trouble, you know.
His trouble?
Yes. Oh, of course we don't talk about it, because he seems to have made such a good recovery. But sometimes I wonder. About what?
I've been afraid that his mind is becoming a little unhinged.
Good heavens. But I thought when he was in that rest home, it was just a nervous exhaustion. Isn't that what they call it?
Oh, yes, that's what they call it, my dear. It's more polite.
Mrs. Tremaine, this murder of Harry Pollard, your husband didn't have any reason to... Well, to hate Harry, did he?
Oh, please, Miss Summers, I don't think I can bear to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
Oh, no, it's quite all right. It was I who brought up the subject in the first place. I shouldn't have. Let's talk about something more cheering. Tell me how you like working for a private investigator.
Hello, Troy. Stand by to cast your line.
Right.
Now, don't miss the bollard, or we'll have to make another run in before mooring.
Yeah, I won't miss. Here we go. Yeah, made it.
Good man. All the way. Here, I'll give you a hand.
Right, easy does it now. There we are.
Well, now, you made a fine job of that, Troy. We'll make a sailor of you yet.
I wouldn't put any money on that if I were you.
Well, I know I could do with a bit of a snort after all that. How about you?
Oh, lead me to it.
I'll just make the boat fast.
That loop you made for me to throw over the bollard.
Yes? What about it?
That's a bowline, isn't it?
A bowline on a bite, to be precise. That's the bowline there. You use it to make a fixed loop, and you've got a bowline on a bite.
What if you made that loop very small and passed the other end of the rope through it to make a running noose?
Oh, yes. That's what's called a running bowline.
You know a lot about sailor's knots, Mr. Tremaine.
Oh, my word, yes. It's just as well when you do a bit of sailing, you know. And this is my hobby. Very interesting.
Yeah, it sure is. Especially that running bowline.
Oh, you like that one, huh?
Not much, Mr. Tremaine. I guess Harry Pollard didn't like it much either.
Harry Pollard?
Yeah. The rope that strangled him was tied in a running bowline, Mr. Tremaine. Exactly like that. A sailor's knot. Something tells me you and I had better take a trip up to London right away.
Jealousy, Troy? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure, Inspector. Well, apparently Mrs. Tremaine and this Don Willis, the producer, weren't very circumspect.
Oh.
Of course, the people in their apartment building didn't want to talk, but, well, you know me.
Yes. I imagine you engaged in some highly unorthodox, I might even suggest unethical questioning.
Well, I got you the story. Your men would have taken a month.
You know, I can't imagine Mrs. Tremaine having an affair with that Willis. I mean, he's such a gross sort compared with her husband. Tremaine's a gentleman.
Yes. But you'd be surprised how many apparently refined women like a little caveman stuff once in a while. Oh, Inspector, I could tell you some stories that'd raise your hair.
You could?
Yes, sir.
Well, why don't you?
Well, some other time, Inspector. Work now, play later. Anyway, here's the setup. Harry Pollard is caretaker of the Tremaine's apartment building. Along with some of the tenants, he knows that Willis was visiting Mrs. Tremaine while her husband was in that rest home.
So Harry, for some reason or other, maybe spite, tells Tremaine about it, and Tremaine, in a fit of rage, hangs him with a rope in the theater.
That's right. Well, shall we go?
May as well. You all organized?
Yeah, I'm all set.
All right. Let's get on with the unpleasant part.
Ah, oh, there you are, Inspector Shadwell.
Caswell, madam.
Oh, never mind. What does that matter? What I want to know is how long are you going to keep my husband and me cooped up here in this smelly police station?
Why, still, that's no way to carry on. You'll have to excuse my wife, Inspector. She's rather upset about all this.
Yes, I'm not surprised. I'm afraid I have some rather bad news for you both.
Oh?
Well, what is it? If you mean we have to hang about here while you...
No, Mrs. Tremaine, you're free to go, but, you, Tremaine, you'll have to stay.
What?
But what on earth for? We've answered all your questions.
Yes, so you have. Yet I'm afraid I must detain your husband further, madam, to answer a charge of murder.
come in, Don.
Ah, still. Oh, it's so good to see you again after all this creeping about and hiding.
And you, darling. Well, aren't you going to give me a proper greeting?
Just try and stop me.
Don, I've missed you so. Hold me. Hold me.
Oh, I've missed you, darling. Oh, how I've missed you. Since Archie got out of that home, we've hardly had a minute together.
That's all over now, sweetheart. Our plans worked like a charm. Isn't it ironic, though? The very reason I killed Harry Pollard is the reason that the police think Archer killed him.
Oh, not quite, darling. They don't suspect that Harry tried to blackmail Archer as he tried to blackmail you.
Horrible little beast. After all I did for him, getting him this job here and everything. And then he uses that very job to find out about us and try to get money out of me.
Well, I still say you needn't have killed him, Estelle. I mean, you say the neighbors knew about us. Archer probably would have found out sooner or later anyway.
I don't care. I'm glad I punished that horrible little man. I can see him now, standing there in the theater, leering at me while he demanded money to keep quiet.
Well, I told you at the time you should never have bothered to go there when he phoned you for the meeting.
Well, I didn't think it just seemed the best thing to do. And then when he stood there gloating, I just saw red. I had to do something.
You weren't in such a blind rage that you didn't have to stop to think about tying that rope the way you did.
That was easy. Archer showed me those knots 100 times. It's funny how clearly you can think sometimes, even when you're in a rage.
Well, you certainly did. And am I glad. Well, that made it so easy to pin this thing on poor, silly Archer.
Well, at least they won't hang him. He'll be able to plead temporary insanity or something. Oh, anyway, let's not talk about it anymore. I don't want to go on and on about that all the time.
Who's that?
Don't know, but stop worrying. From now on, we have nothing to worry about. Now sit down and relax, darling. I'll see what it is.
Well, get rid of them. It might be reporters or something.
Yes. Oh, why, Mr. Troy, Miss Summers.
Hello, Mrs. Tremaine. Sorry to bother you. I just called to pick up my microphone.
Microphone? The one we arranged to have hidden in your apartment while you were down at police headquarters, Mrs. Tremaine?
Yeah, the one we used to make a tape recording of everything you and Willis have just been saying to each other.
Why, you cheap sniffer?
Don't try it, you big ape. I just love the opportunity of breaking your arm in three places.
You heard everything?
Heard it and recorded it, Mrs. Tremaine. You know, when your husband and I were out in his boat, he told me what an angel you are. It's going to be kind of hard to tell him that his angel is a little tarnished. Hey, come on, Julie, let's go. Oh, and you two, I wouldn't try running. The inspector's on his way, and you'd never make it.
Well, that's that. Now, Pete, I'm only sorry about one thing.
Sorry? What have you got to be sorry about?
You didn't fall for any doll this time. That means I can't tell you to walk softly, Peter Troy.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.